got into the drug culture, got into the New Age culture, even having lived in India, seen the religion of India, seeing what it did for the people, seeing how dark it is to be under the head of the snake that is the wisdom of India that is worshipped, having seen all that and then coming back to the West in the 60s, where it was all repackaged in such an alluring, incredible way that I got sucked into the very thing that as a child I feared, and yet with its repackaging, I got pulled into it and became a westernized Hindu. Now, in those days, it wasn't called the New Age. It was called the Aquarian, peace-loving, bohemian, beatnik generation, the hippie culture. I mean, all these wonderful, fun things that slowly, as its name started changing and it became the New Age, I was so concerned because I started seeing spiritual, who I thought were Christians, that were embracing some of the very things that I had embraced. And then I thought, well, why not? Because Satan is an angel of light, and if he can dupe the world, he's going to dupe the church. In those days, I wrote a book then called God's the New Age and made a movie, God's the New Age, to show that this new ageism, this new spirituality, this new light was not Christian. It was being repackaged to seduce the Christian. And Greg gave us a wonderful idea of how the syncretism of these symbols and this terminology and these names are coming in to dupe us as Christians, that even today, so many of our Christian leaders, respected, well-respected celebrities, I am not saying they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not saying that they don't believe in the Bible, but they are being duped with the one-worldism that Satan wants to bring us all into. We have to all embrace loving a new Christ, a new gospel, a new spirituality, a new light, because ultimately it's going to be Satan's representative who comes like Christ, anti means like, who is going to deceive the whole world into believing that that is the coming of Jesus, when actually it is a false coming. So we're progressively moving so fast, so that when about 10 years ago I started seeing how wide the gate has become, how many thousands of Christians are being embraced into what Jesus said is narrow is the way, that encouraged me through the Spirit to make the Wide is the Gate series. And I was so thrilled to have Ray Youngen, Warren Smith, Johanna Michelson, Roger Oakland, Chris Quintana, others that joined because they were so concerned. So the Wide is the Gate series was birthed. We've had one and two. My first presentation is going to try very quickly to run through one, but each of these is about 4 hours long, about 5 to 6 parts. So bear with me if I go very quickly. And we're coming up with volume 3 that is going to be focused much more on the hyper-charismatic Pentecostal movement and how that too has embraced the seduction of the wrong spirit. And this is what we've got to understand, that the God of this world is not the Holy Spirit. The God of this world is an unholy spirit. Jesus said that he was a liar from the beginning. He is out to destroy and kill, and he will attempt to be like Jesus. And the counterfeit is getting really, really good, that many Christians are falling by the wayside, which was something that we were promised in the Bible, that there was going to be an apostasy, a falling away, not a revival. So when you hear anybody talk about a revival, we have to get back to Scripture and say, does the Scripture promise that? Does the Scripture say that? No matter how much man wants revival, it is not going to happen the way that the Holy Spirit in the Bible predicted. It's going to be a falling away. So I'm going to skip very, very quickly through yoga, but here again, did a massive exposition on yoga. When I went, in fact, I was so amazed that so many Christians Christians were practicing Christian yoga that I went back to India to interview the gurus, the god men, the initiators of yoga, to say, can yoga be a health remedy without the spirituality? You'll find out the answer. No, it can't. They're both entwined, and I'll try and cover that in our next presentation. So anyway, a lot of all of this is in my book Out of India, and I want to get this out of the way right now, because if there's lots of questions, they're answered here. But let's press ahead with the beginning of how did we get here? I mean, in the 50s, we were a Christian church-going people. What happened in the 60s is actually what began the change over the next few decades. So, let's press on. This is the preview trailer of Volume 1. Now, I've got it wonderfully, Sean, Pastor Sean, on my computer here, and my wonderful audience can't see it. So, I will start again. Mr. Sean? Meanwhile, I know you all think I've got an accent, but I just want to tell you that I love your accents. So, thank you. Thank you. What did I do wrong?
It just went to sleep.
It went to sleep. Nobody may go to sleep here. See what happens? I think it goes up here to play. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No sleeping. All right. From east to west, how did we get here? Volume. I know you all think you've got wax in your ears, don't you? Okay, here we go.
There are many church leaders who say we need to reinvent Christianity.
These popular movements are creating alternatives to biblical Christianity.
There are many church leaders who say we need to reinvent Christianity to reach out to what's called the postmodern generation.
The core premise of postmodern philosophy is the idea that truth is subjective and therefore relative.
All the emerging faith is subjectivism. It's a denial of absolute truth. And so everybody can have their own truth, and we can all come together in unity.
Within the emergent church, because they have thrown out the idea of absolute objective truth, the idea that we can open up God's word and discern his timeless universal truth to humanity, what has happened is they've basically exchanged a rational Christianity for a irrational Christianity, which is based on human subjective experiences and human subjective emotional experiences.
The ancient future movement is also part of what's called the emerging church. The view is that traditional Christianity is too legalistic, too dry. The seeker-friendly movement is too superficial, too entertainment-oriented. People from emerging generations, those under 35, want a more profound encounter with God.
One aspect of appealing to the postmodern generation is to introduce techniques, spirituality, litanies, rituals, and so on.
This is called vintage Christianity or ancient future Christianity. Let's go back to the disciplines of the monks. Let's introduce some of the ideas of the East from yoga.
Yoga, 2,000-year-old pagan religious philosophy, which is now widespread throughout the emergent church movement. Never see Jesus talking about walking prayer labyrinths, teaching his disciples to practice yoga, practice contemplative prayer. These are all things that don't come from biblical Christianity at all, but are being embraced by the emergent church today because they're looking for some kind of subjective, personal encounter with the divine. And so they say that if we can find these kinds of things in other religions, let's borrow these things from other religions and just call them Christian,
for those who profess to be a part of the evangelical church, they're now introducing prayer altars, prayer labyrinths, techniques, bells, incense, candles, all of these things that have a very sensual seduction, but they are not biblical.
Many people who are seeking after an experience to participate in Christianity are not interested in studying the Word of God. They say that, you know, teaching the Bible word by word or verse by verse, that just doesn't work today. What you need is the experiences that you need to be able to smell God, taste God, feel God, touch God.
Years ago, Psychology Today said that the Eastern worldview, Eastern religions, would come to the West as a psychology. Psychology is not science. It is experiential. It has to do with feelings and moods and understanding. It also teaches, bottom line, that we are innately good. This is an idea out of Hinduism.
Christ, in New Age terms, is a state of being rather than a person. It means someone who is in touch with their higher self or their true self. They see Jesus as someone who came to show us our divinity. But this is God in the occultic sense. This is not the Judeo-Christian God. This was a God that resonated with the Hindu and Buddhist concepts of God, a God that you could have mystical experiences with, the God that you could embrace through meditative practices, New Age spirituality. The concept of the divine in all is now considered to be quite normal, whereas before it was considered to be blasphemous. Contemplative prayer, also known as centering prayer, is where we can come to the fuller understanding of the unity of all that is. Well, these are classic Hindu concepts. You know, all is one, unity of all that is. In other words, there's no such thing as good or evil or the kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan, that all is one. Everything is united. The practice of contemplative prayer is a mystical tradition, which goes back centuries and can be traced back to a group called the Desert Fathers. It's presented as the way to know God at a deeper level. Centering prayer was where one goes into the silence. One takes a Christian word and says it over and over again. And you go into altered states of consciousness and you actually come out with the same mindset as people who are doing yoga.
These ideas take people away from the Word of God towards mystical experiences. And these experiences are exactly the kinds of things that are practiced in the East by those who promote Eastern mysticism.
Contemplative spirituality is a belief that I can look within. It's a very subjective and experiential technique for finding truth, but not based on the Word of God, based on somebody's feelings and experience.
And what we have to understand is that in a mystical way of approaching God, it's all subjective. It's all what you hear in your altered states of consciousness. Christians have to base our faith on what the Bible says. Christians have to have faith in the Word. Non-Christians have to hear the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
One of the major ideas of the purpose-driven movement is that the world can be transformed by working together for the cause of good, to bring a social change on planet Earth, to eradicate AIDS, poverty, illiteracy, and other major problems that the world faces.
Rick Warren, in the purpose-driven movement, is going to reform the church. So he says his idea is that we're going to change what the church does. Using modern marketing techniques and business management techniques, Rick Warren has a program called the Peace Plan. Rather than going forth and preaching the gospel authoritatively, calling people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, and to serve Him.
Jesus clearly told us that the end was coming, and that as the end drew near, we would see more and more chaos, confusion, catastrophe in our world. And this is why, as Christians, we need to keep the gospel at the forefront, which is the eternal heart condition of men and women.
The peace plan is we're going to go out and solve the world's problems, cooperating with the other world religions. Rick Warren, he even says that the man of peace who could help you in a village can be a Muslim.
Can you work with Muslims? Can you work with Hindus and bring this all together as one global faith?
Biblical Christians believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He came once, paid the penalty for our sins. He's coming again. We look for His return. Other religions have messianic ideas. They believe that someone is going to come and solve the problems of the world. For example, in Islam, the 12th Imam who's going to come and deal with all the kinds of issues that are problematic today. Within Hinduism, they're looking for an avatar, looking for another incarnation. In Tibetan Buddhism, another Dalai Lama. Problem is that these are false messiahs. And the only one who's going to fit their definition, their view, is the Antichrist.
The emergent church really believe that we can eliminate poverty, we can save the environment, we can end racism and genocide and all the social ills in the world. And that is the gospel for the emergent church.
This is an ecumenical idea. Ecumenism meaning that that all religions have a part to play in solving the problems that we see around the world.
The Roman Catholic Church is really the catalyst for the ecumenical movement today. It's building bridges into all Christian denominations, and that's what ecumenism is. It's an attempt to unite all of Christianity. There's been a great influence by the Roman Catholic religion. Their eschatology says that Jesus Christ will not return until the whole world is Roman Catholic. And so they have an ambition to unite all of Christianity under the power and influence of the Pope. Prophecy tells us that there will be an apostate form of Christianity. And we see that there's two streams of Christianity operating side by side for the last 2,000 years. You have the Apostolic Church, founded by the Lord Jesus Christ, that follows the teachings of the apostles. And then you have the Apostate Church operating right along with it. And those are following doctrines of demons. It's a false brand of Christianity.
There is a new gospel being promoted today by the emergent church.
There are many church leaders who say we need to reinvent Christianity.
These popular movements are creating alternatives to biblical Christianity.
Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few are those who are on that path. But wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those that travel that path.
So, all religions are waiting for somebody to get us out of the mess that we're in, and they're all going to look to the wrong person. When I was a bohemian before New Age, but I'll call it a New Ager, but when I was there, I used to work with the idea of bringing peace to earth. I was raised a Roman Catholic, so it was very easy for me to switch from Roman Catholicism into mysticism, because Roman Catholicism is actually Western Gnosticism, which we don't even know. I mean, I was a very devout Catholic and went to Mass every day, three times on Sunday, fulfilled all the holy days of obligation, etc., etc. I had my confirmation name, was able to light candles through my conduit. Mother Teresa, or Teresa was the name of my confirmation saint, that I would light candles, commune with the dead, go to Mary, because I could never go to Jesus. So I was already being conditioned to have spirit guides and move into that world. So the occult workings of Satan are well within the church, because when you get the Catholic groups trying to bring us into an ecumenicism, they are trying to move us from the Word of God, which should be our basis, into the mysteries of God, or the feelings or the sensations and the experiences which I had meditating in the presence of God when I would see the Eucharist on the altar, which I truly believed was the presence of Jesus. So it would all be based on feelings and emotions and subjectivism. So it wasn't until somebody came to me in the 70s and actually preached the gospel to me. So I just want to let you know that it is the Word of God that is the gospel of God unto salvation. That is the only thing that penetrates the darkness. When that word was given to me, I gave my heart to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ through the work on the cross, who awakened in me the Holy Spirit to lead me, opened my eyes, gave me discernment. It is so essential that we go to the Holy Spirit for all our leading. But in Timothy, Paul says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, distinctly and expressly, that in the latter days some shall depart In other words, go away from the Holy Spirit and start coming to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And this is what is in the church today. It came in the 60s through the invasion. The seducing spirits came through these mind-altering drugs. That's what started me, first of all. Mind-altering, the idea of expansion, mind expansion, altered states of consciousness. The drug culture, which, by the way, is central to Hinduism. And then the gurus from India started coming, teaching their false Eastern mystical teachings wrapped in Christianity terminology. The first impact they made was in the 60s. This is Maharishi Oops, it didn't go. Oops. It went back to sleep. It is being very disobedient. I can't move it on. Here we go. Woke up. Anybody asleep? Woke up. Wake up. 1960s. So basically, it was the Beatles who were promoted through incredible world marketing that then turned to this man in the middle, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was the one that absolutely brought transcendental meditation, which is now practiced by Oprah, and the entire Christian church called contemplative Christianity. But the way it was brought to the Beatles was be still. Greg gave us a wonderful example yesterday of how that crossover, be still and know that I am God, it's taught as the stillness meditation or stillness contemplation. Now, one thing to remember in guruism, and this is going to be the counterfeit that shows itself in churches today, every guru has got a mentor. That is the fellow on the right of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who is Guru Dev, who passes his mantle, his demons, who have come from former generations, onto the present guru. So every time a guru who has been touched by the mantle of former demon carriers touches you on the forehead, in any way lay hands on you, you are now opening yourself into the demonic realm. One thing within Hinduism is they have to do what they call the impartation or the Shaktipat, which is now well entrenched in the hyper-charismatic Pentecostal movement with impartation, and we'll come to that much later in part three. But here are the various gurus with their mentors behind them at the top right-hand corner. You've got Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, had a huge following. I know Warren Smith was with him for a while. I went to India, to Pune, to be under his feet. We've got these various different Sai Baba on the bottom right. Each of them has a mentor that passes on the mantle. So these teachers from the East then came to indoctrinate us. The biggest indoctrination was given at Woodstock in 1969 at the Woodstock Festival, the Aquarian Fair Music Festival in New York. And this fellow, Satchinanda, actually initiated 500,000 young kids in 1969 who then went out into their parts of America, who are today our leading teachers in the New Age, New Spirituality, New Light movement that we have here. I want to read to you one of the things that he said in addressing this crowd of approximately 500,000. Very, very important initiation, especially when you understand in his Eastern thinking, mystical thinking, how it was then taken in through Western followers. He says, "I am overwhelmed with joy to see the entire youth of America gathered here in the name of this fine art of music. In fact, through the music, we can work wonders." Now, when he means music, he means sound. Music is a celestial sound. That sound within Hinduism gives us the power to articulate anything we want. And those are the names of Hindu gods. In Hinduism, it's called the Om or the mantra. So 500,000 people were now being changed, transformed through their drug-altered states of consciousness to bring in mantra worship or seed words that began the magic, the black occultism that is part of Eastern mysticism. Music is celestial sound. This is what he's telling these 500,000 people. And it is the sound that controls the whole universe. The reason it controls the universe, if one knows the Bible, is that you're calling on demons. You're calling on deities within Hindu-Eastern mysticism, which has now been translated into the new spiritual, new Christianity, to be the name of Jesus or the name of angels. It doesn't matter if we keep on repeating the name of Jesus. It is still a powerful name that is above all names, but demons come into it and do their magic. So the sound that controls the whole universe, sound energy, sound power, is much greater than any other power in the world. We're told that Satan is the god of the power of the air. So remember, keep on always sharpening yourself with what the Bible says against something that mystics say, even if they're Christian mystics. So here we have Swami Satchananda continuing, sound energy and power is much greater than any other power. And one thing I would very much wish you all to remember is that with sound, you can make it and at the same time break. That is the important when we have our leaders like Rick Warren, Rob Bell, Christian celebrities that tell us to keep on repeating a word, and or Joyce Myers with her word faith, or Benny Hinn, or any of our Christian leaders that tell us that to put faith in the word or the pronouncement of the sound. So Satchananda continues, I am very happy to see that we are all here gathered to create some sounds, to find that peace and joy through the celestial music. I promise you the counterfeit peace and joy is very real. I knew it as a New Ager. Under unholy spirits, I had a peace. When I came to the Lord, the words in the Bible told me that Jesus gives us a peace not like the peace of the world. There is a counterfeit peace that is offered. There is a counterfeit joy that is offered. And when I was a New Ager, I loved those experiences and feelings which hundreds and thousands of Christians are experiencing at the moment with the wrong counterfeit spirits. So he says that we can find that peace and joy through the celestial sound music. Of course, he's meaning through the demonic world. And I am really very much honored for having been given this opportunity of opening this great music festival. These sounds, of course, are what in Hinduism are called seed words. Bijakshara is what they are when you're initiated with seed word, which is a mantra, which is the name of a god or a deity in the spirit world. And these are mystic words, magic rituals that you repeat and you're indwelled by the deity that consumes you. Much like in Roman Catholicism, when I had mystical spirits in me without even knowing that I had already been initiated into mysticism. So Swami Satchananda continues, America leads the whole world in several ways. Very recently, when I was in the East, the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, who was a president, prime minister in India, met me and asked me, what's happening in America? And I said, this was the absolute championing of the gurus, the invasion of the godmen to the East in the 60s and 70s. I think this thing's gone to sleep again. Yep, it has. It's off, sleepy snoozing. And I don't know what to do about it. Don't know how to wake him up. So I will continue with America is becoming a whole. America is helping everybody in the material field, but the time has come for America to help the whole world with spirituality as well. America was a target in the 60s and 70s to spread the new light evangelistic program, this new Christianity. And that's why from the length and breadth we see people, thousands of people, yoga-minded spiritual people. Now, in Swami Satchananda's thinking, when you are spiritually awakened, you are awakened to yoga, which is the God consciousness. I'm sorry. I need you here. I'm so sorry. It goes to sleep on me. Naughty person. So let all our actions, says Swami Satchananda, actions is again bhakti yoga, these are all different types of yoga, let all your actions, isn't he brilliant, hands to him, still, it's still only doing the small picture, there he comes, okay. Bhakti yoga, express yoga through that sacred art of music. So remember that mantra sounds are calling down the deities. So he says, let us find peace that will pervade the whole goal. And then he says, this is the future of America. There is a dynamic manpower here. All these thousands of youth in altered states of consciousness getting into mind expansion. This is the power that is going to spread the new spirituality, says Swami Sachidananda. The hearts are meeting. Just yesterday, I was in Princetown in Stony Brook in a monastery where 200, 300 Catholic monks and nuns met, and they asked me to talk to them under the heading of East and West. It came in through Catholicism. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was targeted through monks, nuns, monastic living mysticism to bring in the new mysticism. And they asked me to speak East and West, one heart. Here, he said, I really wonder, looking out at the crowd, whether I am in the East or the West. If these pictures or the films which are going to be shown in India, they would certainly never believe that this was taken here in America with such yoga-minded people. So, he continues that he hopes that this festival carries on. Then he leads them all in a very, very powerful prayer. 500,000 young youth. Before I conclude my talk, I would like all of you to join me in our group here in repeating a very simple chant. Not a simple chant, this is calling down Hindu deities. He says, as I was reminding you of the sound power, there are certain mystical sounds which the Sanskrit terminology says are the bijakshara, which are the seed words. We are going to use three seed words, three mystic words of intense power to formulate the chants. If you will join wholeheartedly and the chant, we are going to have at least one whole minute of absolute silence. Later on, you will see Beth Moore, John Piper, Louis Gigliani leading 40,000 youth just last year into this type of chant of Speak Jesus, where Beth Moore tells everybody to keep absolute silence and let Jesus speak to you, let the voice speak to you. So not even the cameras will click at this time, says Swami Sachidananda. You are going to feel the great, great power of that sound and the wonderful peace that it can bring in you and into the whole world. Let us sample it now. Then he gives them the chant. The words like Hari is one word, Om is another word, Hari Om Ram. I'm not going to do the repetition that he said, but basically those are three Hindu gods. And as we see this fellow up at the top right, Prabhupada, he started off the Krishna Consciousness Movement, which is the Hari Rama Krishna Consciousness Movement, which one of the Beatles ultimately became a follower in. The fellow on the bottom right, Guru Maharaji, the Divine Light Mission. At the top, we've got Muktananda, who actually introduced snake kundalini yoga into the American public. Amazingly powerful a monk, priest, Hindu pandit, which is another name for them. But he practiced all branches of yoga. He brought Siddha Yoga, S-Y-D-A, Foundation Yoga, to the United States. And a Siddha Guru, by the way, is a spiritual teacher, a master whose identification with the Supreme Self is uninterrupted. So the whole point of all of this is to get you into the presence of God, keep you in that interrupted state of believing that self and God are one. And then you can have these mystical experiences of your God oneness. So a Siddha Guru in his or her capacity is to awaken the spiritual energy, Kundalini as it's known in Hindi, which is snake power. In all other cultures in the East, the snake is considered powerful and the only wisdom we must pursue. In the Bible, we are told that the snake is identified with Satan and is not the power of wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator. But in Eastern mysticism, the idea is that through yoga, you awaken the snake power to come to the realization that you are God. So here we have Muktananda, an extremely important person in beginning the impartation, or what's called Shaktipat, that then became very normal by the 70s and 80s, and now is a very central part of the Christian movement, the hyper-charismatic Pentecostal movements, where like Todd Bentley and others will give the impartation. So here, of course, in India, just like in this country, a lot of these spiritual leaders are God-men for politics, just as Rick Warren works for the political synergizing of one worldism. Here we have India's new political gurus that are doing exactly the same. Thessalonians 2 tells us that this is all according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. In other words, there is power, there are signs, and there are wonders connected with all of this divine deity. But it is an unrighteous deception. God will send them strong delusion if we continue pursuing our feelings rather than going to the Bible, which is the truth. Because the truth, as it says at the bottom, we're condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A lot of the church is turning to the pleasures of lying signs and wonders and false powers. John Lennon, who is one of the leaders of the Beatles, said that Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue that. And of course, it's a demonic prophecy. We know very well that Christianity is diminishing in the sense of the false Christianity, the apostate Christianity is growing. I will be proved right, says John Lennon, we're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Jesus. Jesus was all right, but his disciples are bad. Well, his disciples were the foundation of the church. And the true church, the Pentecost church, was filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostates are the one we need to worry about. So once again, in 2 Timothy and 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if anybody's gone to a zoo growing up in India. I saw the roaring, hungry lions ready to devour anything for dinner. Satan is out to get our spirits, and we need to be very, very careful to guard our hearts. Now, Satan's character is devoid of truth. He is a liar. Jesus said of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. Remember, any voices we hear in our head, no matter if you think they're angels, guardian angels, spirit lies, channeling somebody that comes saying they're Jesus, they are liars. Because Satan's very character is that he speaks from his own resources, and his own resources are anti-God. He is a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. And there are going to be false prophets and false teachers among you who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. Now, a lot of these people will say that they love Jesus Christ, but it's a different Jesus, a different gospel. Okay, I don't know what's quite happened here with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, but this is an amazing little clip I found where he says that find the kingdom that lies within you was the main... Okay, let's do that.
Find the kingdom that lies within you, I think, has been the main teaching of Christ.
So he says this is the main teaching of Christ. Christ said... The kingdom is amongst you, meaning Jesus Christ was here amongst you. Here we have got an Eastern mystic guru telling us that the kingdom is within us, which was the beginning of the indoctrination of the lie that we can all have Christ consciousness or God within us, even if we want to bypass the cross or not believe in the cross. You'll hear him saying later on that he loves Jesus. So these people are liars. So this is the counterfeit kingdom. And it comes with a wrong philosophy, the source of Satan. The kingdom of God is both spiritual and physical. Jesus says that the kingdom of God comes not with observation. The kingdom of God is within, meaning amongst us. And that was Jesus, and he was telling the Jews that here he is with a new covenant. Paul teaches the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. These people are coming in another spirit, in an unholy spirit, with a wrong lie that Jesus is within us, even if we don't go through the cross. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These people cannot, Eastern mysticism, Western mysticism, through feelings and emotions, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the counterfeit kingdom within this Hindu awakening, Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So we have to seek the person of Jesus, not the feeling of a mystical, wonderful experience within me, which I experienced as a New Ager all the time. Jesus said his Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to them to ask. By the grace of God, I didn't even ask for the Holy Spirit, but that particular day when somebody introduced me through the gospel to Jesus Christ, God in his grace filled me with the Holy Spirit, which immediately gave me a love of the Word. And I go to the Word to discern and be sharpened, to always test every spirit that is coming with another gospel. So once again, he's saying, find the kingdom that lies within you is the main teaching of Christ. But Jeremiah 17 tells us that a deceitful heart is within us. Christ comes to change hearts through his death, to awaken our dead spirits that were separated from him through sin. And Jesus came to reconcile us to him, awaken the Holy Spirit in us that will change us from glory to glory. It is not through going within to meditate that I am Godness. Because I knew as a New Ager all the things that almost led me to suicide. And yet when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ that night, my life was completely changed. He took my sins, he took my lies, and he changed me to a new creature. And we all can walk in that power of the promises if we believe the promises. You know, when we were singing that song and we were told to come to living waters, it reminded me of the story where Jesus said that he was the living water. But how many of us in this room have been depressed? I mean, I for one, there are times when I am just down in the dumps. I have to go to that promise and remember living water is within me. But I have to go to the promise and draw from the promise and not stay in my dump state. Otherwise, I spiral into problems. So, Jesus talks on the kingdom of God, that to you has been given the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of God. This was the disciples when he was teaching about the kingdom of God. What is it? And the disciples said, why are you teaching in parables? Well, he was teaching in parables the first time in Matthew 13 because it was prophesied that he would speak in parables. And that frustrated some Jews who wouldn't come to him through spirit, but the disciples were told that to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To us it has been given to know these things through the Holy Spirit. But we have to be born again. We cannot see the kingdom of God if we're not born again. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and probably, I'm not even going to judge how many thousands of Christian celebrities are born again or not born again. But we have to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then, of course, we know the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. And these are the things that we should see in Spirit-filled Christians that speak the truth of the Holy Spirit according to the word and not give us false prophecies and false teachers. So here he's coming again, telling us to find the kingdom that lies within us, whereas it's the power of God is defeated by the word of God. So I encourage all of you here to so know the word of God, because it was the courage of one person that came up to me in 1973 when I was a blown out occultist, drug addict, lost in darkness, who truly believed I was in the light, was a peace-bearing doer of the whole world coming together. And he had the courage to ask me when I invited Jesus Christ into my life after having told him I'd been a Christian all my life. Imagine, I'm doing yoga, conversing with demons, and I truly believed I was a Christian. And when he told me the gospel in those 12 minutes, it broke me into repentance. And I thank him for it. So, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit. So no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Later on we'll hear Maharishi Mahesh Yogi saying that he loves Jesus. But here we've got men in the church that are rising from the church, because we're told, Paul warned, I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. That means fellow Christians, Christians who come on Christian TV, huge, great, big pastors like Rick Warren of 40,000 purpose-driven churches around the world are being led into the purpose-driven agenda, which is not the same agenda of the King that Jesus will return to bring the kingdom of God on earth, but that we as people can bring God's kingdom here on earth. So Paul warns us here that they're speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Thomas Merton is a Roman Catholic, very, very popular Roman Catholic priest who popularized mysticism. He is part of this interfaith, pulling us together through interfaith dialogue and possibility thinking, expanding our awareness to embrace oneness. You're going to hear oneness. Communion, community churches, come let us unify churches, which are calling themselves Christians, part of the ecumenical Roman Catholic coming together unity. Of course, Richard Foster promoted celebrations of disciplines, the idea that we through spiritual discipline can become connected to mysticism. I'll talk about him a little bit later. We've mentioned Rick Warren, who also, by the way, not only promotes a new social justice program and peace on earth, but it is also endorsing mysticism. He talks about breath prayers. Again, breath is connected with the celestial sound of chanting, but the idea is that Eastern mysticism believes that our breath is holy, that God breathes, it's God's breath that we can invigorate within ourselves to bring us to life, and I'll touch on that later in part two. Bill Hybels, How to Hear God. Now, if these people were to say that if you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God got you, revealed the truth of God through the Word, that is something quite different to listening to a voice that God is speaking. And God only speaks through the Scriptures, not in a sense... And I know this is difficult to explain, but it has to be tested through being revealed through the Holy Spirit through Scriptures. And then we've got Beth Moore, who down here asks us to be still and know that I am God. Again, it's to go within yourself, know that the mystical God, is that we are in the presence of the mystical God. Jesus, the promise of Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. It's on that promise that I know Jesus is here. I don't particularly feel it. I don't know what my feelings are about feeling Jesus here because, you know, I don't know that feeling. But through his promise, I know he's here. So we have to be a people that are led by faith through his promises and not with these teachers and pretenders who promote as though it's Christianity, these mystical experiences and to transform the earth. By the way, even within Indian Hindu thinking, they want to transfer...
I love Christ very much. And he must be enjoying with all...
Here again, he says he loves Christ very much.
I love Christ very much. And he must be enjoying with all this growth of infinity in the individual life.
He truly believes as Christians that we get into mind expansion of Christ consciousness if we practice meditation.
Thank you, Margie. I thought Jesus came, died on the cross, that Jesus is...
Okay, and here we have Oprah.
Thank you, Margie. I thought Jesus came, died on the cross...
Sorry.
I love Christ.
Thank you, Margie. I thought Jesus came, died on the cross, that Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, how to be, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had and that consciousness abides with all of us.
That's what I got.
Now, Oprah claims to be a Christian, extremely influential, to actually say that she used to think that Christ came on the cross, died on the cross for our sins, but no longer believes that, that Christ actually came to reveal our Christ consciousness. This is a huge crossover, and the media entertainment industry uses this kind of crossover, just as Greg pointed out to us last night, on terminology that we must be careful of.
Christianity. TM is a friend of Christianity because it takes the awareness of the people to the field which Christ wanted everyone to enjoy.
Can you read what he says on the side? I tried to put it, because I know it's very difficult to understand an Indian talking, you know? So I tried to translate it to put it here so that you could understand it. But basically he's saying it's a friend of Christianity. So, because it takes the awareness, again, the experience, into a consciousness. So here we've got the two completely opposite beliefs. Faith, belief in a higher power, an impersonal energy, whereas biblical faith is belief, confidence in a personal creator God. Faith in Eastern mysticism is trust in an inner divinity, inner potential, psychic intuition. Well, I really feel that. Whereas we have confidence and trust in a biblical way, leading to fidelity and truth. Now, they've tried to push truth out. But the Bible says truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So once you start making truth relative, and you need to walk 10 years in my moccasins or walk in my shoes in this experience, no. We have got the same God that gives us the riches in Christ through his grace if we turn to him. The East teaches us that our experiences and tuition without truth, and remember, truth in a biblical way is the person of Jesus. He says, I am the truth. So there is no truth in morality outside of Jesus. There are facts, 2 and 2 makes 4, the law of physics, etc., etc. But truth is a morality and a spirituality that is based in biblical truth. We apply steadfastness and faithfulness to his revealed truth in Scripture through obedience to the Holy Spirit. They have doctrines of demons this side that are giving us something without truth. And here is my, I was going to say mentor guru, but I thought I better not. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't know what's going on.
It just keeps on going to sleep, and I don't know how to wake it up. How did you wake it up? Which one? Oh, I'll get that again. I'll work it out the next time. I'm so sorry. Thank you for being so incredibly patient with me and my sleeping computer. He's going to give me his touch, not impartation. Okay, on the east, again, is the coming of all power, ushering in counterfeit kingdom of God, counterfeit kingdom. Here, on a biblical teaching, we are looking for the appearing and kingdom of heaven on earth, his 1,000-year reign established in Israel. When I was told that night, that I had something to look forward, the coming of Christ, you cannot imagine how it changed my life as a peacenik hippie to think that I could work for peace and make the environment better, and that was my purpose and whole direction in life, but to know that Jesus was going to appear has so kept me going. On the other side, Eastern mysticism, they have lying signs and wonders from the resources of the father of lies. We have to recognize the wiles of the devil, which are out to seduce and deceive us. So again, one of the techniques in Eastern meditation is we must use our imagination, intuition, psychic ability, our realization, oopsie daisy, our realization of human motivated power. I know I can do it. I've listened to Joyce Meyer so much times saying you could have faith in your word. If you only believed you'd have a better car, you could have a better car. Practicing the presence of God through occultism. This is what they tell us, that we have inner divine potential within ourselves to visualize whatever we want. Visualization, psychology, that inside of us is only goodness, where the Bible tells us inside of us is deception. Yoga meditation, that we can, through an altered state of consciousness, know that I am, whereas that name is absolutely 100% the name God calls himself. Here we're told to contemplation, give up your mind, go into neutral. The use of imagination in the Bible is condemned by God, as it relies on man's ability to image make. It's the pictorial faculty of the mind able to conceive new views and truths and conceptions, the supreme talent of the inventor. Never in the Bible, do your own Bible study, imagination is not looked on upon well by God. And I've given you some, to go to Genesis 6, 5, go to Deuteronomy 31, go to Luke 1, go to Romans 1. Imagination is not what God likes. He wants us to be a people of faith. Truth perceived intuitively implies faith in the intuitions. That's a New Age concept. Knowledge obtained through the senses has underneath it faith in the senses. Confidence in the laws of the human mind access truth through logical processes of reasoning. The Lord wants us to come to him based on the Word of God and him being our faith. I think I've actually run out of time, so I'm not going to be able to finish the rest of this. And my pictures have gone anyway. So I think we need to end here, right? Thank you very much. Thank you for being so very, very patient, honestly. By the way, if you want a really good video, the Submerging Church, which gives a whole overall view of emergent, mega, seeker-friendly, Pastor Joe Schmull has put this incredible video together, which I've got on my table, and I do encourage you to get that. Thank you. Thank you.